Hello, Mark Ja. Thanks for tuning into this podcast. Mark stands for Meet with God, Reach Out to Others, Know His Purpose for Your Life, and to Develop Your Potential. I want to encourage you, before we even get started, to ask God to soften your heart, open your mind to receive what He has for you. You're loved by a great God.
I'm just so blessed to be able to get to share with you guys tonight on a topic that I'm really passionate about. I would say that this topic that we're diving into tonight, whether you're married or not, it's going to radically affect you. Because just because you walk down the aisle and you take the hand of another person to agree to partner with in life, timing doesn't stop after that. In fact, in many ways, it just begins. It's learning to trust God's timing on every level. If all you get focused on in life is the person, and I understand why that's like such a massive decision in this season of life. If all you're focused on is that, you miss out on a lot of other things that are going to help you make that decision. So falling in love with Jesus is the most important thing. Because really, if you buy into every principle we share, but then you say no to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords becoming your best friend, you've missed the whole thing. Is anybody with me? And I know I might just be dropping some kind of some hard truth at the beginning, but I just want you to know, Pastor Letitia, when she was putting this together, which I think is awesome, you know, the first week, it talks about design. You are designed by God. Did you understand that? You're designed for greatness. He doesn't build anything average. I got to drive over to the mountains as we were going to the snow the other day, and it's just like, it doesn't take much. You drive 22 over to the mountains and you go, God is good. It's so pretty. You know, you just get reminded how small you are, how big He is. And then I think about, this is what was getting into my guts as I was driving. And later as I got to go up on the mountain a little bit, and I got to take a few runs. It was really fun. As I'm going, like, this is what you did on the backstroke. He created all this beauty and all this kind of stuff. He did, but what He really poured His guts into was you. Because He says, we're designed in His image. Does that rock anybody like it rocks me? I mean, He thinks about you. It says, His thoughts about you are more than the grains of sand. I quote that all the time, but I don't think we really understand what that means. That means He's deeply, intimately involved in the details of our life. So if you don't think He's invested, can you turn this back, please, just a little bit more, Case? Because it's going to make me feel like I can't be loud, okay? If you can't understand that He is interested in being involved in who you partner with, you're not thinking about Him as being as kind as He is and as good as He is and as faithful as He is. He designed you to walk first with Him. To understand who He is, take His hand, say yes to Him, right? And then Hans broke down a couple weeks ago, right, Hans? Talking about accountability and what a big topic that is. Because if we want to do this right, if we want to date right, if we want to pursue the right person in the right season, or if we want to even pursue a person in the right season and do it right, we have to understand that we need accountability. Scripture says, in Proverbs, many, many different places, but in one, I think in 4:4, it says, wisdom comes from a multitude of counselors. 4:4, I think, actually says that go get wisdom, though it costs you all you have, go get it. I love it when the scripture just repeats itself. So to me, that means something. Go get it. So that means I can sit around and go, nobody shared a good, I didn't see anything good on YouTube. I haven't downloaded a good podcast on this yet. My pastor's just not talking about subjects that mean something to me. We have more access right now to greater teaching on deep, intimate topics, especially the one that you guys were just asked questions on. I mean, this missionary downstairs, he was telling me what they're having to do to try to deal with the topic of depression, anxiety, fear all over the world right now. It's the universal concern. Part of it is because social media and things have built in this comparison game. Would you agree? Yeah. So it looks like my life's not real interesting compared to other people. Or it doesn't, I'm certainly not that beautiful. I mean, like, remember, it was just Photoshopped, okay? you know, or you know, just this perspective of somehow I'm lived in little snippet moments, when God's really interested in us being connected to him moment by moment by moment. How about the moments that aren't captured on Instagram? When you just, out of the pure love in your heart, just bless somebody and you don't let anybody know about it. You just choose to bless somebody in your family. Take care of a bill somebody has. Encourage someone that you actually just want to straighten them out. And instead you pick them up. If we understood God's timing and how he came after us and how he comes after us moment after moment after moment and how he pursues us, if we fully understood that, fully understood the way that he was wired to think about the significant moments in our lives and get us ready to make great decisions, if we fully understood that, we would walk so close to him. I mean, God is really messing with me on this topic right now. And he's being fierce with me to talk about, well, Aaron, there may be some issues here because there's a lack of intimacy with me here. Maybe I'm only talking to myself tonight. Intimacy with him will breed security in these other areas where we have insecurity. But let me just tell you, you are not the only one struggling with these issues. It's across the board. I can tell you, over the last year, as pastors, we've counseled and invested in people that, you know what I mean, it would seem that they have everything in this world going for them. And yet they're struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts and all these things. And it's like, how is that possible? They're gifted, called, good looking, all these kinds of things. The family's got resources. Because there's no gate. There's no gated community that depression will stay out of. Is anybody with me? He knows how to get into every little nook and cranny and find your weakness. And so we have to learn how to come before God and go, Father, I don't know why this is an area where I struggle, but I'm just confessing it to you. I need your help. I want to grow with you. I want to understand your heart in this area. Why? I don't know why I'm insecure on this particular topic. I don't know why I tend to get into relationships that aren't healthy. I don't know why I struggle and have such deep insecurity and fear to where I would even want to just go somewhere else because I'm so scared that I'm going to make the wrong choice on this. Maybe because you've been surrounded by people that have had nothing but broken relationships around you. And you've seen it done wrong so many times that you're afraid to get it wrong. And let me just tell you what Scripture says, 2 Timothy 1:7, perfect love casts out, excuse me, I'm getting that reference wrong. Somebody look that up for me. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7, okay? But I want you to know that perfect love, Scripture says, casts out fear. Right now the reference is going out. Do you have it on your, where is it? It's coming. Just shout it out when you get it, okay? One of you, holy people in this room. It's important to have these things in our hearts, though. These ones that are on the walls around the room. These have been carved out by people that love you. To say, this is what we need to be aiming at. These are the things that we need to know about God. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Thank you. There we go. 1 John 4:18. If somebody needed to hear that, perfect love casts out fear. In other words, if you want fear out of your life, fall more in love. Get to know more about his love. And it's like a washing that comes over you. Fear will move out. For we're God's handiwork created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. You're his handiwork. There's nothing second class about any of you. Some of you hear it, but you need to receive it. You're his handiwork. And the enemy's done anything he can to try to get you to believe something less. I love this scripture back here. This is one of my life verses for a lot of years. Do not let anyone look down on you because you were young, but set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Five very, very potent things. Speech, life, love, faith, and purity. This season of life, you are going to make massive decisions. You need to understand God's timing. His timing in how he came after you. His timing and how he's going to lead you. His timing and how he wants to bless you. His timing and how he wants to warn you, stop. I will tell you, you will be more defined by the moments in which you listen to the stop light. It's the, can I honor the no's? Anybody in here hate the word no like I do? I hate it when people tell me no. It's a brilliant idea. What are you talking about? How could you possibly say no to that? No. Once in a while, I'll have a customer, and they'll just, you know, I'll come up with this beautiful design and whatever. They're like, no, I think I want a square lawn, and I want it to be, and it's just the dumbest idea ever, and my job is to honor that customer. Are you sure? You know, try to help them understand how this thing's going to work, but my job is to honor them, and I'll give them advice and wisdom, but I'm going to just tell you, learning to listen. Say the word listen. Say listen.
Listen.
Learning to listen for his voice, to listen for the stop signs, the caution when the yellow comes up. And then it's really fun when he gives you the green light, because the more that you learn how to walk in obedience and blessing, the more that you desire. God, I want to know. No, I actually want to know. Now, I know before I didn't really want to know. When I asked you, you know, I didn't really want to know, but I did want to know. I said I wanted to know, but you know, you and I both know, God, that I didn't want to know because I didn't do what you told me to do, and we all both know that, but that's okay. Now, in this season ahead, I want to know, and he says, okay, stop, okay. And then he tells you stop, and you actually stop, and then you back up, and you go, okay, there's the line. I'm not even going to get close to it. This relationship is on hold. I'm not just talking about dating relationships. How about friendships that are toxic? Somebody, they'll affect you just as much. I was learning last week, somebody said this to me. I did not read it in some journal, so don't go look it up and quote me, okay? But it made sense when it dropped in my spirit that relationships, when you start a relationship, that you have the potential to lose up to 6 to 7 friends starting a relationship. Because it kind of shifts everything. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
It's not always easy to figure out, okay, but we were like all three hanging out and now two are dating and now, you know, there's one. And then there's all the other, the next circle and the next circle. So would you say that there's some impact with the people around you, with the choices you make, the people that are even depending on you? I can tell you, it affects things. God is interested in you taking this topic seriously. The first thing I want to share, just two quick things, and then I'm going to give you this, just one portion of scripture that I think is really like nails this topic. But I want to say, you've got to understand blessing. You don't start relationships without blessing. Okay? Where you have gone to, guys especially, listen to this. If you're wanting to pursue a young lady, you have got to learn how to go and ask for blessing. If your parents, now there's some younger in the room, and we've got like a room that's normally like kind of like 18 to 30. We've got all kinds of things going on in here. All kinds of beauty and wisdom, right? But if you are at a season where you're undercovering and you aren't asking opinions of anybody, that's a dangerous place to be in. One, that means you either have nobody wise in your life or you're completely out of accountability, like was talked about. I want multiple layers of accountability. I want friendship accountability. I want mentor accountability. I want pastoral accountability. I want parental accountability. And then just get a bunch of wise, sage people around you too. Just sprinkle them in. People that kind of know what's going on in your life and know enough to go, hey, that's dumb. Or I don't think so. Like, she's nice, but I don't think she's set. I remember I was dating a girl in college, and we had everything in common. Her name was Carly. We were in the Oregon State Choir together. Both of our moms led children's choirs. How weird is that? Both of our families had a house on the same lake. I mean, the stars were aligning. She was really pretty. We were good friends. But I remember being home one weekend, and I'd come across a picture of her at a party, just doing something that was like revealed clearly that we had different tracks in life of how we wanted to honor the Lord, okay? And it wasn't something horrible, but it wasn't anything great, okay? And it made it very clear. And I remember I was home, and I was just I had a ski boat at the time, and I was waxing this boat, and I was mad. God and I were wrestling, and I was angry, and he's like, "You will break up tomorrow with her." And I'm like, "No, I will not." And he won. Anyway, but I remember I finally came to this place of peace. I mean, it was hours of back and forth. I knew what I needed to do, but I did not want to do it. And I was, "God, timing. Come on, this seems right. I'm in college, God." See, it's not just about, is this person a believer? She was a believer. We had history. We had friendship. We had all these cool things in common. But we weren't set on the same course. And I can tell you, there would not have been blessing. If I had gone to my parents, if I had gone to what the next step would have been for me to go to her father and say, "Sir, I'd like to date your daughter. And I want you to know I'm going to be honorable." That's blessing. I should have gone to my parents first, even though I was in that season, because if they know my heart. Now, I understand if you don't have godly parents, you don't have the, find somebody wise in your family. What do you think about this? Do you think I'm in a good place to be able to be dating? Go to a pastor. The pastor should know them, right? Because they've been around you. You go and you get blessing. And then if you get blessing on that level from your circle, then you go to her circle. So I want you to catch this. These are big check marks that you don't run past. And this is not what the world does. Would you agree? You know what the world is doing right now to build great relationships? Scamming each other online. I know three people right now in my world that have been ripped off by thousands of dollars with online relationships. It's awful. And let's say it's all legit. Two legitimate people that come and you know, you put your profile, and you always put your best stuff on there, right? It'd be kind of dumb to put all your dumb stuff on there, right? And you're kind of like marketing yourself. I do this, and I'm holy, and I'm whatever. I don't know. I haven't been on one, but the problem with them is, yes, you get to see key attributes, but you don't get to see a season of life. You don't get to see how that person walked through losing a family member. You don't get to see what happened when they didn't get the job. You don't get to see what happens when they get sick. You don't get to see if they brush their teeth in the morning on an off day. You don't, is anybody with me? Yeah. You don't get to see the stuff that's really crucial to know if, can I connect myself, I mean, even for a season, to open my heart up to this person to see whether we should connect. There are some things that I should know about them, yes? I think so. And I'm going to tell you, there are certain situations in which that can be accelerated, but I think it's best when you've had a friendship and you've been around that person and seen their life. Are they consistent in their habits? We're going to talk about that in just a minute, so I don't want to dive into all that right now. But you got to understand, if you want to know if timing is right, God, is this the right person? Am I in the right season? Then the next thing after blessing is, are they healthy? Are they whole? Are you whole? Because this is what dating is to lead to marriage. Casual dating, there is nothing about that in this book. You're just messing with people's hearts. Let me tell you one other thing, you're just practicing divorce. Get together, break up, get together, break up, get together, break up. Have you ever done that with like a piece of tape or a piece of Velcro? Pretty soon, it won't even stick. It's just truth. All that grip. Because the heart was meant to connect. It was never meant to be this passive thing that our culture, and that's why people are so ripped to shreds when they've gone down the trail of dating people, slept with them, and not understand, why am I a mess? Because you gave something away that is so sacred and so holy. Can God heal it? This guy right here is a sign that, yes, it can be healed. I didn't do it all right. God had to restore me. But I'm telling you, the greatest journey you can have is when you trust him and you let him heal you along the way and you, okay, no, that's fine. What about, you know what the hardest one is? When everything looks right and you still don't have a piece. Everybody's on board. She's in love with Jesus. You're in love with Jesus. But then God just goes, no. I remember several people early on in ministry, particularly one was my former pastor's daughter. She dated this guy for a year up at Portland Bible College. And then he came to her, and there was a permission after a year to come and ask for to be able to pursue her. And she goes, she looked at him and she goes, God told me another year. He's like, ah, okay. So he just, they stayed friends, walked, another year goes by, comes to, oh, God told me another year. It wasn't until their senior year in college that they started dating. And God totally blessed it, and they have a great, great family, great ministry. They pastor across town at West Salem. And anyway, but there's been times that I've walked beside people, and it's just so heartbreaking when God just goes, no. Why would he do that? Because he has somebody so significant for you. He has so much invested in the person that he's sanding and oiling on. And he's getting ready to connect with you and become one with you. Guys, gals, it takes some faith to be able to believe that that God is that invested. But he is that invested. Walk around this church and look at some of these old couples that have been married for 50, 60, 70 years and go up and ask them some serious questions. Ask them if they even know how to breathe without that person. They're so connected. Two whole people. A person over here who's whole, that's let God heal them, or they're at least in process of getting healed, right? You're not going to find two perfect people. Don't go there with me, okay? But a person who's aware of their stuff, bringing it out into the light and letting God heal it. And another person over here that is aware of their stuff and letting God heal it and wants God's opinion, here, listen to this, wants God's opinion more than they want your opinion. Are they more in love with Jesus than they are with you? Are they more interested in honoring his voice than they are your voice? Are you guys with me? Like, this isn't fun stuff, but it's truth. And I'm going to tell you, it's totally countercultural to the way the world works. So go to Psalms 24, 3 and 4 with me. I just want to break down a couple things that I think outline this question of, and I got to speak this over the high school, but I think it's a different conversation for this room in some respects. Read this with me. Say, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Got to read it with me, okay? Here, start over. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by what? False God. Swear by a false God. This verse wrecked me 15 years ago because I read it, and I don't even remember where I first, like, fully, like, encountered this, but it was like, God, this is my story. So here's where I want to take you with this. When it's learning to climb with God, but I'm going to tell you, if dating is to lead to marriage and you're looking at who you can climb with, it's not only can they climb, but can you climb? You need to have some of these pieces in place. And you need to understand what God has to say about this. And I think this just beautifully outlines it. So go with me just for a minute here as we touch this. I'm having to cut and paste here a little bit, but I believe God's going to drop this. First thing, who gets to climb? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. I remember I was really wrestling with God over this issue in my life, and he just kept bringing me back to this verse, go, clean hands, Aaron. Clean hands, Aaron. Pure heart, Aaron. And I just was so bent out of shape over this particular issue of some stuff that was going on in the church. This is some years ago before I was here. And God just, he was just like taking this verse right here and just going on a tour of my life. Like, have you ever been in it? I hope none of you have been in it, but I've been in an MRI before where it's like it's like an x-ray. They see everything. Isn't it fun? Oh, it's great. Anyway, and it's like that, verse, Psalms, 139, 23, and 24 talks about, search me, O God, know my ways. It's just searching you. But I think clean hands have more to talk about than just an absence of sin. Because every one of us has got a sin issue. Would you agree? We're learning to not manage our sin, but to kill it. I don't want to just be managing my stuff for the rest of my life. Anybody with me? Yeah. I want victory. I believe that's what God created me to walk in. Clean hands. What do they represent? Work ethic. You want somebody that has an understanding of what it is to work. You don't want to get with someone who just wants to sit around all day and live off your paycheck. Now, I'm not saying that one person isn't home and whatever, but even if it comes into in a culture where none of that's defined anymore, I just want you to understand, like, learning to work for the same purpose, to honor God, whether it's how we're caring for our family, or I can get up and go to work on my worst days, or I know how to rest, too. I know how to take care of myself. I love this music stand. It is my favorite. Don't worry about it. It's not good. I don't think any of them are any good, Hans. Okay. Next thing is, are they a servant? Clean hands talks about whether there's a servant heart, showing that they have a vision bigger than themselves. You can see it in people. Does every arrow point back to them? Me, I? Or is there a sense of, man, I got the opportunity to go bless somebody today. It was the coolest thing. Find out, what are they, the first one out the door? You know, after church? Are they looking for someone that they can connect with and be a blessing to? Is there a servant heart? Clean hands also, of course, speaks to no perversion. Now, I'm not talking to somebody about somebody who hasn't ever had an issue. But if a person has had an issue with, let's use the topic that's very prevalent today, which is pornography. If a person's had an issue with that and it's had a hook in them, it probably needs to be something that's out in the light and has been dealt with, and they've walked out some deliverance for a while. Not like 2 weeks. I'm clean, I'm good, Jesus healed me at the altar. Amen. How about a month from now when you're really getting messed with? How about a couple months from now? That doesn't mean that you can't share attraction with that person, say, I think you're awesome, intentionally build a friendship, do things in group circles, but just watch their life. Slow the train down, back up when you see those issues coming. Timing. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? It's understanding God's timing. God, am I in your timing? As I'm learning to date the way that you would want me to do this? He knew this was going to be hard. But I don't think he designed it to be online microwaved. Yeah? I don't think he wanted us to be ignoring these issues. And I understand that maybe some of these issues, but if you were to really read the word, you're going to see that every issue that we have, they had. Perversion is everywhere. People struggled with it everywhere. So making sure that those things are being brought out into the light. 2 Timothy 2:22, they're fleeing evil, they're learning to pursue God, and they're learning to do it with people that love God. Be leery of someone who is only running from evil but isn't running to God. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's not enough to just run away from the thing that's trying to rob you. You have to be running into the arms of the right things. And I'm going to tell you that I think that that's it. It's a huge litmus test. What does their pace look like? What does their run look like? Whose arms are they running into in those moments? Do they have to be begged to go to the altar? Or are they, Lord Jesus, I just need you. I mean, I can't tell you how many times as a pastor, I'm like, I can't wait. I love to pray for people, but when God's really dealing with me on an issue, I'm like, I need to be done praying and I need to go get at the altar myself. I don't want anybody having to tell me to do that. I don't want to have to be begged to do that. I don't want to have to be corrected and have something come out on the news. Do you know that people that have their lives and all this stuff dragged out on the news is because when it was real small, they just refused to deal with it. Look at all the people that their entire testimony, their entire life, all their wealth of their family. Some of these people, can you imagine for some of these families that are going to live with wealth the rest of their life, but know that the person, the legacy where their family became known, that it was just, ugh. Because sin, when it was small, wasn't dealt with. It's learning to bring these things out, and you got to watch that. You got to watch somebody's habit. How quickly do they repent? When something goes a little sideways, you guys have a little argument. Are they the first to come forward? Hans, I'm so sorry that I said that in that tone. You're like, man, we had no issue whatsoever. Well, the Holy Spirit checked me. I was rude. Please forgive me. Do you see? Or do I wait until he's ticked and 3 months later we're not even sure why we're mad at each other? But we just slowly kind of create more division. It's a big deal. Are they a gentleman or a lady? Can they handle themselves in certain situations? Can they handle treating someone with respect in a delicate, maybe a little bit dicey situation? How do they talk to their family? How do they talk to their mama? How do they talk to their father? How do they treat their little grandma? Because that's how they're going to treat you. How do they talk about them when they're not there? Ooh. How do they talk about their family? Even the challenges. This is important stuff. Secondly, clean hands. And then it says a pure heart. The heart is what distributes the blood throughout the body. Would you agree? Yeah. This is, do they have a dependence on the word of God? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There's nothing light about that scripture. All scripture, say all.
All.
That means all of it is applicable to my life. Check their theology. Are they just accepting parts of the Bible and the rest of it? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to align on everything. Everybody hear me real quick. There may be some things that you're like, okay, we're going to talk about that. When Heather and I got married, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I grew up in AG in Corvallis. But I had also had a very weird experience with some unhealthy things, not anything close to here. And so I had become a little bit guarded in my faith. And Heather had grown up in Salem, you know, kind of the Alliance Church, which wasn't spirit-filled. So we were both on a journey. We were both very open, but we were both kind of broken at the same time, too, both very much loving Jesus. I fell radically in love with her when I heard her pray in front of the whole college group at Salem Alliance. I already thought she was cute. I already thought she was awesome. But then when I heard her talk to God, I was sold. Because to me, that was like, I can trust that she is who I think she is showing herself to be. And we had a journey on there. Anybody knows my story knows that we got together, broke up. And because I was an idiot, because I had practiced divorce so many times by dating so many people, I didn't trust my own heart. And luckily, my best friend, who she became, had some patience with me in that process. But I remember a key moment when God literally picked me up, because I think, and there's only been a few times in my life that God has gotten my attention on this level. But this is why I would share this with you tonight. Why I think it's so significant for you to seek God on who your spouse is. I remember when Hans and Carissa were dating. I'm just going to, you're pastor, so we get to talk about you, okay? And I remember when you were dating, and there were some seasons where stuff was, you shared it all up here, and we're tough. But I remember just being able to look at them and speak to them, and it was so clear that their hearts were coming together. It was so clear that God was fitting you together in the middle of the imperfections and the calling and the blessing and the challenge and the love. Because we are all so different, right? But you can feel it if you're seeking God and you're seeking accountability and you're looking at God's timing and there was favor, right? We weren't all telling you to run the other direction. Because even in the middle of all of it, we could see God was doing something. But they were letting themselves be known to people. You understand what I'm saying? The worst thing that a pastor can hear is when you show up with your fiance and nobody knows them. They're like, I'm engaged. Really? Yeah, it happened over the weekend. We've been dating for the last 6 months. What? No wonder you haven't been in church. I'm just kidding. No. But it's this process. And I want you to see that it's like we've got to trust God. That he wants to speak to that he wants to breathe on that. Is there a dependence on God's word? Song of Solomon says 3 or 4 different times, it says, don't awaken love before it's time. This is a very significant scripture. I did not know it was in there 3 times. Somebody can check me on that. Logan will probably tell me later it was 5. Anyway, but it's in there a bunch. And it's because as soon as you start the motor of love, you got to be careful. Would you agree? Because every one of us has this deep desire to be fulfilled in that area. And that was my journey, man. It was just like 60 miles per hour right out of the gate. And I had to learn how to slow down and go God's pace. But I remember when he strategically, like, picked me up, I felt like I was being picked up by the back of a net, like you pick up a cat or a dog, you know, when they're a puppy. Can't do that to my dogs now. But anyway, and it was like he picked me up and went, you will marry her. Because I was just, I needed help. My ability to choose was challenged. Because my heart had been on a roller coaster, and it was like, I just needed that. And all of a sudden, everything locked in. I knew it was him. I wasn't wondering if it was some, it wasn't the pizza from the night before. My best friend was to become my spouse. And it was like awesome in that moment to just hear him. But I remember it was backed up by God's word. It was backed up by the season. Even though we had missed that, don't awaken love before it's time. Even though we had missed some of those things, God redeemed it. So just hear that. God can redeem the whole thing. He's got you. But you need to understand how significant this is. This is a big deal to him. So dependence on the word. Rooted in the house. Are they interested in hopping from church to church to church to church, or do they have a history of deeply rooting and being used and being known and being covered? Is there a consistency? Does that mean what? Well, what if we go to different churches? That's okay. But are they known by their pastor? Is there covering over them? Somebody that's speaking into their life? Psalms 27, verses 4. This one thing I ask, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and seek him in his holy place. Is that in them? I'm not saying that they have to live in the church. We would not want to teach that. Okay? We're looking for well-balanced, healthy people. But I'm saying, is there a heart for his house? Have they gotten that piece down yet? Here's why. I mean, you can have someone who loves Jesus that says, no, I'll just receive from T.D. Jakes online while I sit at home. And believe me, he's one of the greatest speakers ever. I love that man. I mean, I receive from him through podcasts. But that's not church. That means they've learned the discipline of getting themselves up, getting into rhythm, coming in, being part of an imperfect church, an imperfect house. I know I said it, it's imperfect. And coming and being known by precious people and learning to serve somebody else. Yeah? It's important because if you try to, especially girls try to do this, they try to teach the guy that later, that's not a good idea. If it's not already in him, don't try to just train him. Because you can teach a dog to sit for a while, but inside they're standing up. And eventually they just start running. You know what I mean? You want that for a guy or for a girl. You want there to be consistent patterns of being known and honoring God's house. Are they submitted to a local pastor? Is there a heart of worship? You know why worship is such a big deal? Now, I'm not trying to tell you that they have to be the most, like, crazy dancing all over the place kind of. But if they totally check out during worship, that's not good. Here's why. Worship is this deep, intimate part of the Christian experience where the Holy Spirit can mess with you and heal you and quicken you to repent. There's stuff that happens in the presence of God that doesn't really happen during the message. It's there where the heart's getting tilled up. And if they don't care at all about worship, that means when they're going through something really difficult a year or two, three down the road, they may not know how to go get a touch from God in that way. Privately, our private worship should always outweigh. So what do they listen to outside? If the main message going on in here that's coming to them is just nastiness, and then you're expecting to stand in God's presence and worship him, it ain't going to happen. You might learn the posture, but that doesn't mean that you've understood the purpose. Your heart won't be able to connect with his. Are you guys with me? I'm not trying to tell you you can't ever listen to anything that isn't Christian. Come on now. But what is your diet? What offends you? If they got a nasty mouth, if every joke that comes out of them is just getting a little bit grosser and grosser as you date them more, be weary. Because that's the best version you got. Wait till you walk beside them for about a year. That's why you need to know somebody, because I can tell you, you can't hide that stuff over the course of a year. Are you with me? You just can't. 3 months? Usually even that. It's, you start seeing it. 6 months, you really see it. After a year, you see a full cycle in a person's life. And when you're studying the topic of timing and understanding, God, what is your what does timing look like for me right now? Your eyes, regardless of where you're at in this room right now, should be adjusting to say, am I attracted to the right things? And for the married people, am I continuing to be attracted to the right things? I mean, there's moments you got to go, God, I don't want eyes for anybody else but my spouse, and you have to just preach it over yourself. Because it's not like once you get married, you don't find other people beautiful. Wow, God, that is beautiful. And I pray, you just start praying for their spouse or their future spouse, and then start focusing on your wife, focusing on your husband. It's a discipline to take every thought captive and make it be obedient. Are you guys with me? Understanding timing means you have to understand what the Word of God says is yours. What does His promise say is yours? Your mind can be right in those moments. Actually, when the enemy messes with you, it can be your most holy moment because you learn how to turn it on him. He tries to rob from you, and you rob from him. So do they have a heart of worship? Is there honor for family? Honor for your father and mother? Honor your father and mother, and then you will live a long, long life. Exodus 20:12. Man, that is the only commandment that comes with a promise like that. Is there a love for money, or are they learning to be a steward of money? Most relationships are ruined over this topic more than any other. Hear me on that. They can be check, 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 check the box everywhere. Check, check, check. Everybody's in love with them. Check, 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 check. Can't manage money. Always broke. $20,000 upside down. Major stop. Red light. You will possibly be broke for the rest of your life because two become one. That doesn't mean it can't get healed, but wisdom has got to get on it, and you got to start to learn how to manage money. What happens when you go, I think we need to go through Dave Ramsey's course, and we need to understand what he has to say about money. And they go, no, I don't want anything to do with that because I know how to handle money. You know how to handle broke. You buy anything you see that looks sexy. Amazon is your best friend. If their idea of a budget is checking their ATM account to see if it's positive or negative, that's a problem. Are they a steward or are they a spender? Okay? I want to encourage you right now. Listen to me on that particular topic. Because more marriages are broke up over financial issues than having anything to do with infidelity. Cheating is a problem, but cheating financially, that's a major thing. I remember counseling a couple that came through this youth group years ago, and they wouldn't connect their accounts. They wanted to keep it all separate. And I knew it was a disaster waiting to happen. They just wouldn't do it because they want it. That's mine. I earned that check. Wait, I thought he won. Number one, it all belongs to him, right? So they hadn't even figured that out yet. And then they hadn't figured out at all how to trust each other. And honestly, to this day, it's still a struggle for him. Major, major stuff. Is there a steward for money? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. Is there a love for sports over anything else? Meaning, is it an idol in their life? And the only reason I bring it up because, guys and girls, it is a major deal. Girls, you need to know if their entire demeanor and world changes when their team is on. And then if they go into depression for 2 days if they lost. You think I'm joking? I'm not. Somebody's going to remember this a few years from now, and you're going to Aaron, I should have listened. Sorry, anyway. Nobody's going to experience that because you're going to receive it, right? Say receive.
Receive.
There we go, right. That doesn't mean they can't be passionate about their sports team, but it can't mean that they schedule everything in their life around it. Yeah. Do you know how many Super Bowls we've been up here worshiping God down in the sanctuary? This is the first year that we did a party of any kind. That's the first Super Bowl I've seen live, any part of it, in like 9 years. Yeah. That's the truth. I would have thought you were crazy because I love God's house more than I love what's ever going on. Is there a love for shopping that might be unhealthy? When you talk about money, come on. Have they learned how to build friendships and keep them? Oh, that might be important because you may want other people around you rather than just your spouse for the rest of your life. Yeah?
Yeah.
You need healthy people. You need to help make sure that they've got healthy people, godly women around her, godly men around you. If they're like, no, I just don't have any friends, you should be concerned. Now, if they just moved here from out of state, come on, have some grace, right? It's a little bit different. Clean hands, pure heart. Don't lift up a soul to an idol. That's what we'll be going through. And then they don't swear by what is false. Man, this is a big topic. Lying, I think it's interesting. I always thought it was weird that it came at the end of this. You can climb with somebody if they've got clean hands, a pure heart. Don't lift up to a soul to, and don't swear by what is false. Because lying will absolutely erode and destroy everything. Do you know there have been surveys that have been done, hear me on this, over this topic, and you would be embarrassed to hear how much your generation, mine, how much they lie. When people aren't being, when they feel like they can be honest and their name's not going to be behind it, they will tell you how much they lie. I remember God started dealing with me on this, and it was so fierce because, man, everything, it was like little tiny exaggerations. And it came to a point to where, I mean, I just had to be, I mean, I was so broken as God was revealing this to me of how much impurity there was in me. There was, lying comes out of pride. I can get away with it. I can create my own reality. I can create the story the way I want it to be. Listen when they're talking to the store clerk. Listen when they're talking to someone to get caught in a tricky situation. Do they speak it straight? Or do they kind of give the version and leave out some details? Sometimes you can leave out some details and you didn't technically lie. Are you with me? Watch what their character reveals in those moments. Watch what your character reveals in those moments. James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Man, I'm grateful for that. That is such tough love right there, isn't it? He will literally resist you. When there's pride going on, is there foolishness or maturity? Are they growing in wisdom? Or are they running from it?
Thanks for tuning into this podcast. We'd like to invite you to one of our services at People's Church here in Salem, Oregon. We meet on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for small groups and 11:30 a.m. for our main service. If you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at MRKDYA or our church website at peopleschurch.com/marked. Thanks for listening, and you're loved by a great God.